Let me begin by bringing you greetings and thanks from the Episcopal Church Pension Fund just down the street. We are very happy that in case of disaster, we make our way to this place. And so thank you for being our disaster preparedness location. Those of you that did not know that, we are very thankful for that ministry that you have to your pension fund. This place reminds me of when I became an Episcopalian. In Birmingham, Alabama, you may not believe this, the only Anglo-Catholic parish within about 250 miles was where I found myself one day very dissatisfied with the Southern Baptist Church and walked into that place and found that there was, in fact, somewhere you could go, that there was a parade every Sunday. And as the song goes, I love a parade. And it was that formative place, much like this place, where the evidence of the continuation of the gospel of Christ in a particular way, that social gospel, which carried from England that ministry of who we are in relation to a church that we respect as high. It's a good thing to be here with you all today. Pastor did say that I should be comfortable, since I was a former Southern Baptist, that you are used to 25 to 30 minute sermons. So I will try not to disappoint. In the list that we heard this morning, it always seems that the list is incomplete to me. Some are preachers, some are teachers. It just seems like there's lots more gifts that are recognized. And so every list is, in fact, incomplete. And I think, though, that there is one way that I slot into that list personally, and it says, for those who equip the saints. And my ministry and the time I have been a priest is that kind of equipment salesman. I have been blessed with running into people throughout my life that I knew should be holy priests of God in this church. And one of those people was Patrick Cheng. Patrick and I have known each other for almost 20 years now, and I have been the equipment salesman to him for most of those 20 years. Like a good salesman, every now and then I'd stop by his office at the church pension group, and before he could shut the door, my foot was right there, and we would have a discussion about why he was not a priest. And he would often say something like, well, I'm going to get this next degree. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen the string of letters behind Patrick's name, but I felt like Festus to Paul when he would say, too much learning is driving you insane sometimes. But I relayed the call to Patrick again and again and again. And let me tell you, unlike the compliant Samuel, Patrick was resistant. You could even say he was non-compliant. That is a word of warning to you. If you need more information on that point, you can see the front row here. He was non-compliant to the fact that in order to get away from the salesman, he ran off to, of all places, Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he found the salesman firmly entrenched in the Academic Affairs Committee, and he could not get away. Now, I give Patrick a hard time sometimes about the book learning, as we would say in the South. But I think in today's lessons we hear that it is that wisdom that keeps us from being tossed to and fro, from being subject to trickery, from knowing what is true. And one of the things that is not in fact true, and Patrick can help us all, can help you, can help me with this, is that pervasive thing that is some strange way American in creation, and that is religion as hate. We cannot be tricked by that. We cannot give in to that. The Johnson Amendment that our current president has struck down cuts both ways. It was struck down so that people may support him in pulpit. But what it also gives us the ability to do is to speak the truth in love and say, we must not fall victim to apathy and laziness. Jesus is about love. Religion is not about hate. And you can look to Patrick and his ministry and his writing to help us in that way. It is a gift that he can bring to you and one that you can lift up. Oftentimes, I see Patrick coming down the hall at the church pension group where we did reel him back in. And I think to myself, when Jesus saw Nathanael, Jesus said, behold, someone in whom there is no guile. And for some reason, that always comes to mind when I see Patrick, someone in whom there is no guile. And so I had to look it up because, I'm not sure if I knew what the exact meaning was, and I knew that I was preaching in front of Patrick. So it means that someone who is cunning. Now, cunning in a good way. But with someone who is cunning, you have to watch yourself. With Patrick, you do not have to watch yourself. And in someone in whom there is no guile, we who are more guileful, and I will speak for myself here, have a ministry to those who do not have much guile in them. And that is to guard them so that they may stay as they are. And so your ministry to Patrick is to keep him without guile, to guard and protect him in this place. And so finally, we go into the harvest together. You will be partners with Patrick as the associate rector. Your job, guard him, listen to him, allow him to be the priest he is. Allow him to excel. And you will all be lifted up. And as we go through that harvest together, we will be surprised even by the abundance of the gleaning of that harvest. For surely Jesus is love that knows no bounds. Amen.